Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Close your eyes. Exhale. Feel your body relax and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
New year, new me. Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances, check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those new year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO score 8 model, offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
Welcome to Maximize Your Hunt, the podcast dedicated to those who want the most out of their hunting property. This podcast explores land management, habitat improvement, and hunting strategies that will help you maximize your time in the field. Follow along as industry professionals that live and breathe whitetail deer share their secrets to success. And now, the founder of Whitetail Landscapes, your host, John Teeter.
Hi, I'm John Teeter, Whitetail Landscapes. This is Maximize Your Hunt. Welcome back, everybody. I have been enjoying my day today. I was actually working on my ponds today, and after that, I had time with my kids. I've been at the beach all day, so I just got home and it was kind of a nice to have a day off just to relax and take it easy. A little warm. It's in the mid 90s today. So for those that have either been in the field or, you know, working in a nice air-conditioned office, you know, whatever your situation is, you know, stay cool and hopefully everyone's already. I'm already prepping for deer season. I mean, I'm setting stands next week. I'm getting ready for deer season for me. So these are my next steps, right? I'm going to do a little more cutting. I've got my habitat day coming up in about a month, so I've got a little work to do on the land, but I'm pretty much getting ready. So hopefully you all are doing the same and thinking ahead. All right. So in the last podcast, I talked a little bit about, you know, my take on a whole host of things of buying land. And I mentioned at the end, I was going to have some clients on, and I'm going to have multiple clients on here over the next several weeks, hopefully. And I've got one on the phone today. So we're going to talk to Steve and we're going to get his take. I want you to put yourself in his shoes. A lot of you should be able to relate to these clients. You may be in similar situations. You may have predicaments. You're trying to process things. So, you know, I just want you to use the explanations and details of the conversation and try to apply it to your situation. All right, give me a second. Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me on.
Great. I want you to quickly introduce yourself, where you're from, a little bit of your background, what you do professionally, that kind of thing.
Sure. I'm originally from Berkshire County, Massachusetts. Currently live in New York State. Been hunting since I was about in kindergarten, I think. After high school, I went to the Stockbridge School of Agriculture, got my degree in landscape contracting, and I've been doing landscape construction and natural stone masonry ever since.
Very cool. And you work in Massachusetts or New York or both?
My company that I work for is out of Massachusetts. My current job site is actually in New York State, though.
Okay. Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit about your location specifically. You hired me for some reason, so maybe we should start with that. why did you do that? What were you thinking?
So I've always been intrigued by the whole habitat thing. I think I probably started like a lot of other guys, watching YouTube videos, and ever since I could remember, I wanted my own hunting property. So finally made it happen. It kind of fell into our lap. We weren't necessarily looking for our own like hunting property. We were looking for another house. We had sold our first house and moved in with the in-laws, the whole thing. And a house happened to pop up with 22 acres, and we liked the house, so we mostly bought it because we needed a house, and we just got fortunate and got 22 acres with it. So hunted there for one season and decided to reach out to a consultant and see if I could turn it into something better than what it is now.
Yeah, that's a process, buying a home that has land, right? Making sure it's the right property for you. So let's go through a little bit of your process with hiring me. I don't remember the story specifically, but why did you choose Whitetail Landscapes? I just wonder. The raw dialogue. Let's just talk about it. Why?
So it's a pretty random story. I know I wanted to hire someone somewhat local, you know, someone familiar with how to hunt here, familiar with, you know, everything going on in, you know, the Northeast. So I just made a random post on the Archery Talk forum, and I was like, hey, if anyone lives in New York, do you have a consultant you recommend? And one guy responded with the name John Teeter. He didn't say Whitetail Landscapes or anything. So I kind of didn't think anything of it because everyone else was, you know, listing off kind of the big YouTube guys. And I think about a month went by, and I just randomly Googled Whitetail Consultants in New York State, and you were the first one that popped up. And I went on your website, and I was like, hey, this guy's website looks really good, because the other ones I were looking at looked like they were from 1999. Oh. So yeah. When yours popped up, I was like, this looks really professional, had all the right stuff. So I sent you an email.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's a good story. Yeah, I'm the web manager of my own. Yeah, I'm the cook, the cleaner, the janitor, right? I kind of do it all. I guess I'm not a very good marketer either, but that's okay. But at least I came up in the Google search, so that's great. Yeah. So you took a leap of faith and you said this guy might know a thing or two. And so we booked, I don't remember. So usually my clients are 6 to 8 months out is usually the range. Sometimes it's a year. We've had a couple that have been a little bit longer, but probably there was a gap between that, maybe a year, I'm guessing, 6-8 months.
Yeah, I think it was just about a year.
Okay. Now, was that a good thing or a bad thing? Because I probably gave you some homework, told you what to do, gave you some prep activities. What was your thoughts on having to wait a little bit? Because people don't have patience.
For me, it was actually a good thing because I had just finished my first hunting season on this property, and you were like, use this as an opportunity to keep learning your property, figuring out what the deer are doing, and getting one more hunting season under my belt really helped me figure out the property more so I could give you more information. And I think overall it was actually a good thing. And you did give me some homework to do, which I accomplished. So for me, it was a good experience waiting a year.
Yeah, and I wish that wasn't the case. I'm trying to speed up that more with clients, but I think a lot of people, they want to jump into something, they just want to go. There's a realization, after you do the work, things change again. So your introductory or what the property stays, what the property looks as is going to develop and change. So all the improvements that you make over that sequence of time is eventually going to evolve the property. So again, I think it's a journey. I don't think it's okay to take time to walk through the process. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the process of having a consultant come on, because this is your first experience having somebody come on a property. You've got a year in, you've got a hunting season, and I came in with some probably opinions or thoughts. I don't come in guns a-blazing, right? We sit and we figure things out together. It's a team kind of effort. What was your kind of tact and approach to like, okay, how do I want this guy to interact with me? Or what am I expecting out of this opportunity to have a consultant on the property? What was your objective, really?
Well, I wanted to make sure I had all the information you needed. You know, I wanted to make sure I was just as dedicated as you are. You know, you love this. You do it for a living. So I wanted to make sure I had everything you needed, and I was just on page as you are. So,
yeah. Yeah. Now your property's tough, right? It's 22 acres and you lose a lot. You've got a driveway, you've got a home, you know, somewhat positioned kind of in the center of everything, which there's pluses and minuses to that. So that, you know, we talked about hard to hunt properties. It kind of sets up as a hard to hunt property, but I think we made it simpler. And I want to kind of walk through your experience with, okay, you know, I don't want to make it sound hard, but we had a problem, right? We're in the middle of our entire hunting property. How are we possibly going to make this easier to hunt? You know what I mean? So yeah. What were your thoughts there?
So the property, like my first year here, it was definitely a little challenging to figure out the access to my stands and really kind of figure out what was going on. I kind of just took that first season to dive in and not worry too much about it and really figure things out. So what we did is we kind of simplified that. I felt like at first I was kind of walking through some bedding areas or walking through deer trails, even though the stand I wanted to get to I thought was good, I knew it was wrong. So I wanted to really simplify access, and I mentioned that to you, that access here was kind of tough and wind was pretty much impossible to play with the topography here. I think every sit I have, the wind shifts 3 to 4 different directions. So the plan really simplified everything. We kind of moved all the stands closer to the house so I can just have a quick walk right into the woods. In the future, we're going to have a box blind literally right in my backyard. Don't even have to walk 30 yards. And my favorite part is we are turning my shed into a box blind, the nicest box blind I'll ever have.
that's nice.
I got the windows for that too. My in-laws got new windows, so I got windows for free. So we're going to have a good box blind.
Oh, that sounds like that's Cadillac hunting. That's what I call Cadillac hunting. That's awesome. So
it's almost too spoiled for me.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so big upgrades here, right? Box blind, and then we've got, you know, kind of the shed hunting slash box blind. That's awesome. Are you going to have any equipment in there as well, or is it going to be totally dedicated to hunting?
So the shed is full of everything that we have right now because we don't have a garage, and our basement is a livable space. So it's storage, but there's enough room in there for me to pull up a chair to the window. So,
well, you know, there's a few other points that I think are critical, and I think we'll get into some of the details here in a second, but you're in a tough area. I think that, you know, it's not easy hunting, and the population of deer isn't tremendous, you know, at any means. Taconic Foothills, if anybody knows, kind of like the Columbia County area, it's not, if we were to establish like a pedigree of quality, we're on the low scale, right? And that's fine. But there's positives of the property. There's a lot of diversity. Typically, in those areas, they're oak hickory forests, so we had some aspects of that. We've had there's some maple beech in there as well, so there's a combination of a lot of different species. There was some logging adjacent to you. You know, you had some opportunity to look at maybe is there logging potential. Maybe we'll get to that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we really had to be very precise on where the bedding locations were, how to break up this property. It's a super narrow property. It's long and narrow. You've got hunting points at random intervals throughout the property. I mean, you can walk down your driveway, jump in a stand and kill a deer, which I think is an awesome setup, right? But everything kind of plays into this just basic homeowner movement. Like it's a day in the property, and they're so used to the activity around the home and around the driveway and around the neighbor's property. I don't think the disturbance that the way we laid this property out, I don't think you're going to have a major disturbance to most of the deer in some of the key areas that you're going to hunt.
Yeah, I think it's perfect. The deer are used to me on the driveway in the yard. The deer watch me when I'm out doing yard work, so it's just another day for them.
Now, on the east side of your property, you have a pretty steep slope. We scaled that, you know, like mountaineers. We walked all the way up that. And I remember chestnut oaks, maybe some red oaks. I'm trying to think what else was up there.
A lot of hemlock, some aspen.
Okay. And we went through, we did some forest management. So we did species selection. We did bedding area selection. We talked about how to build beds around those specific locations. Why don't you dialogue a little bit about maybe some of those attributes? And your grade, what would you say the grade is at that point, you know, up and down that embankment?
I think we said it was about 45 degrees.
That's steep.
especially when there's snow.
Yeah, that's dangerous steep. But I think it actually works to the plan because we're going to drive them into the bottoms and we're going to start to focus those deer into key bedding areas as they transition. We're going to have some north-south transition, but we're also going to have some west-east transition. I think that's a good thing. So maybe dialogue a little bit about what did you learn in that discussion? Because we talked about probably a lot of things. I showed you cut lines, where to put bedding locations, existing beds that were already there, right? The locations that they were already using. We talked about amplifying those in some degree. Maybe dialogue a little bit about that.
Sure. So before you came, I had an idea that the deer were using it to bed because of how steep it is. I never really went up there too often. I kind of left it as, you know, this is your area. You guys can have this. But when we were up there, you made it very easy for me to pick out where the deer want to bed. There's a couple narrow benches that kind of run through. And, you know, you walked me through how to make a bed or a bedding area in that type of situation and how to rake out the beds and what to do with the trees. It was honestly pretty straightforward.
Good. Good. Now, what was the plan of action to get those deer transitioning from one area down, I would say maybe in the heart of the property? That was probably an important piece of your puzzle. You know, I'm looking at your map now. I just pulled it up. And we also actually just talked the other day about utilizing some of the, you have some forested wetland areas, non-regulated, but forested wetland areas and how we can enhance those. talked about plantings. We talked about using, you know, existing soil, repurposing it. Maybe talk a little bit more about that when you're doing your layout.
Sure. So get the deer down the hill. You know, we're going to incorporate some deer trails and bedding down into where it gets flat, closer to the wetland on my property. And we didn't really talk about this when you were here, but you also added a food plot kind of right at the base of the hill.
Yeah, I see that now. And I've been doing a lot of drawing, so this is starting to come back to me. It looks like we had some, we did some water management. We did a small holding pond, tributary into a larger pond with distribution through a culvert where there's a crossing transitioning in and out into a bedding area, which I thought was pretty interesting. And you can shoot a good percentage of that from that shed blind right out your front door.
It's almost too perfect.
Yeah, it is. The other piece of it is I think we incorporated some screening options, likely Norways, I'm assuming. We like to use Norways and most of the properties that I work with. You know, I don't have the specifics up. I don't have your implementation plan up. But it looks like we put in a couple social zones. We've got some wildlife shrub plantings. Looks like some interspersion of, I'm not even sure if those are hemlocks or what have you, but maybe dialogue of some of the species you want to introduce in the property. Because I think a lot of people are like, hey, I've got a forested area. We're cutting it, but we're adding trees. That seems a little bit different. And in your case, it's important because you do need those trees for screening purposes as well as food purposes in some instances.
Absolutely. So I think a majority of the trees we're going to add are, they were Norway spruces. And I think in some of the wetter areas, you recommended black spruce. But adding evergreens is definitely good for screening for me and for them in thermal cover. And then I think kind of in the wetter areas, we're going to be putting in species like Radosier dogwood or willow, just kind of giving them a little bit of everything they want.
Yeah. Now you've got some hard lines in there, and I can see where we've put stands in really like right in the middle of the property for those go-to locations. What were your thoughts on that? Actually, one of them mirrored up. I recall these properties pretty easily. Like I'm not a savant in anything, but when it comes to hunting and knowing land, I can remember walking with you. I remember tree species. I remember looking at high points, low points. I remember a lot of your property right now looking at this map. Where did you find, I did put a tree stand right in the center. That's interesting.
That tree stand, if I think we're talking about the same one, is where I messed up on my target buck last season. So I think it's in a good spot. And I even think one of the other stands you had on the map was very close to where I already had one. So they're already good movement areas. And I think the one you put right off the driveway is probably 20, 30 yards from where I killed my buck last year.
Okay. So I was probably, I'm pretty good at, I can predetermine where you're going to kill. Most instances when I walk the land, I can tell you when you're going to kill and where you're going to kill. And so after we do the improvements, I think some of the things is making sure that we bottleneck those deer. Any thoughts on that a little bit? You've probably done some cutting. So I want to hear a little bit about your experience, just you cutting and some of the toughness that goes behind that. Cause it's not an easy job.
No, not at all. But it's honestly been great. I got some of the line, the hinge cut lines on my property border cut in. And I just did, I think, 3 weeks ago, one of the bigger deer trails that goes kind of behind my house out towards where it's heading to one of those culvert pipes. Okay. And the results I see from the deer are within a day or two. It seems like they gravitate to where they hear my chainsaw going pretty quickly. So it's pretty instant when I see results after cutting. It's definitely a lot of hard work, but I enjoy it.
Now, you're doing the work yourself, and the examples that we talked earlier, you're trying to mirror the plan. How close is the plan to the actual execution piece of it? Do you feel like it is it similar in nature when you actually start instituting some change, or have you had to kind of go off script a little bit?
I think it's actually almost spot on. I keep a paper copy of the plan on me when I'm out in the woods, and I'll match myself on Google Maps, and I'm like, okay, like this is right where it is on the plan. The only thing that's off is like the property line a little bit on the map.
Okay.
But that's it. Everything's pretty much, in my opinion, right where it should be.
Now, I'm looking through this and I see we're directing traffic, a lot of deer movement. I mean, but we've also integrated good access throughout the property for working. Now, I think that's really a critical thing. What have you found, like in the dialogue and experience, what have you found that's been, you know, most helpful for you to execute? Like, has it been having, make sure we have secure roadways so we can be consistent in where we come? You know, the deer know where people generally access, you know, the hunting ground or, the, you know, their property specifically. It's being consistent. Is there something about the plan that really speaks to you that's been like, okay, that really means a lot to me? That's actually been extremely helpful. Something along those lines.
So when we first bought the property, there was already a ATV trail kind of going through the woods. And I think you had adjusted it just a little bit on the plan, and I got that done. So just having that quick, easy access right into the woods to do the work is really handy. A lot of the things on the plan are pretty much, you know, a quick walk right off of the ATV trail. It's super easy to just dip in the woods for an hour or two and get some work done.
Yeah, and it's so nice being on site. You know, when I just talked about this, right? Having a property far away versus living on your own hunting property, that's sort of a dream.
Now it's perfect.
Yeah, and you're just fortunate to have this experience. And again, you know, 22 acres, it may seem like for some people, you know, that's not a lot of property, but you're going to get down to the foot by foot level, right? We're going to species identification. What are they eating? We're going to change some of the ecotones, the edges, the margins of the property, so it's more productive. We're inducing edges by the style of cutting. You had Josh come out and work with you, and that was just recently. So Josh came out and worked with you, my partner. If anybody doesn't know Josh Stryker, my partner here does the implementation work. I want to know kind of what that experience was. How did that support your goals, or how did that align with your expectations?
It was great. So I knew going into this, I had a good idea of how to do a lot of this work. One thing I kind of needed some guidance on was how to figure out the bedding areas a little bit better, you know, how to structure them, what they should look like. So I reached out to you first, and you hooked me up with Josh, and Josh came out, I think it was two weeks ago. And it was great. The amount of stuff I learned that day, just blew my mind. You know, anything from how to sharpen the saw better, how to hold the saw when you're doing certain cuts. He had me cutting trees down that were so big, I would have never cut them if he wasn't here. And he really simplified everything for me. And, you know, one good thing we did is I ran the chainsaw, he ran the habitat hook. So when he left, you know, I was good to go. You know, he didn't cut everything for me. And then, you know, he leaves and I'm still, you know, not as comfortable with the saw. But towards the end of the day, I got pretty comfortable cutting trees down with him. So it was amazing, you know, and just seeing what the bedding area is supposed to look like really helped me out. And last weekend I was able to go out and clean up the bedding areas that we cut in. And, you know, I feel like I knew everything I had to do right where the bed should be. And he, you know, he taught me all sorts of little tricks, you know, nipping off beech saplings so they produce more food for the deer and all sorts of good stuff. I was really happy with his visit.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Actually, Josh has helped me out of a few jams. Sometimes I'll have bad days and vice versa. And usually it's nice working with somebody else. Gives you maybe sometimes an attaboy, or just you feel like you've got a partner to help you execute. I love working with him. I've really appreciated our business relationship and friendship. And I just love that people get this great experience when he's on their property. And The thing that I've enjoyed with him, he's so practical. I don't know what your feeling about him personally was, but he just is so pragmatic about things. It's a lot of matter-of-fact stuff. And, you know, he shows up, he's got his machines, he's ready to roll. We got him and I are similar and different in a lot of ways, but we look at the landscape almost 100% identical. But when he gets in there and does the fine work and he creates that screening and bedding layout, and he's smart about keeping key areas, I'll say, undisturbed, so to speak, where deer will eventually be, he knows how to find those spots specifically. And you probably saw, my guess is right, instantaneous utilization by deer. Did that happen or not? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
It 100% happened. So okay. When me and Josh cut, I worked all week and went back this past weekend to clean out the bedding areas and rake out some beds. And it was instant, you know, there was more beds in there than there was a week before. There was droppings everywhere, sign of browse. It was instant.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's dig a little bit more. So, you know, you've got the experience, right? You hired me. You must have learned something, hopefully. And now you've had Josh on your property and you're able to execute. You think you'll be able to finish this whole plan yourself?
I think so, 100%. You know, it might take me a while, but the only thing I could think of is maybe just having Josh come back one more time, maybe next year or something. But other than that, I think I'm good to go.
Good. I like that. I think it's being able to see, have the lens, the vision to actually get it done. And again, it's 22 acres, but there's big timber up there. I mean, we talked about doing timber stand improvement on the top side of that property. Let's open up some of those native oaks in those areas. Let's preserve some of the bedding locations. Let's cut some big timber. You know, you're going to start losing some of those hemlock trees eventually. Let's talk about replacement trees in those areas. So, you know, you've got some long-term, short-term things that you've got to handle. And by the way, dropping trees in a slope like that it's not easy. I mean, nothing's easy in that instance.
No, I'm definitely a little nervous about that, but I think I'll be all right.
Yeah, I think you will be. I think you absolutely will be. All right. And I don't mean to script this too much, but I want you to talk a little bit about everything else. Like, so you've had this good experience. Why was it good for you? Like, what did it do for you personally, maybe professionally? You know, maybe it drove some passion or goal of yours. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. It's definitely a passion and a goal. You know, I've been hunting my whole life. I feel like I've always wanted to do something like this. And now I'm finally able to do it. It feels amazing. You know, being able to work my own land that I've worked hard for and not only hunt it, but help enhance the hunting, you know, controlling deer movement, giving them places to bed and eat. It's like a dream come true. But the whole process has just been great. You know, when you first came out, I won't lie, I was a little overwhelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed like, oh, I can't do all this work. I was overwhelmed because I was like, I got to do all this work. And, you know, but after I got the plan and I started doing the work, I'm like, I'm really enjoying this. And I got to take my time when I do it because, you know, it's part of a really cool journey. And, you know, how many more times in my life am I going to be able to take a property from scratch, you know, a property that's all timber, you know, no clear cuts, no openings, and just turn it into, you know, something that we want to turn it into. It's really great.
I think walking into a property there's not a lot of diversity. I mean, there was some diversity in the property, but there's not really straight lines of, and I don't have the percentages up of what the makeup or composition of the property, but it's got to be in the 70s or 80% all timber, right? I mean, that's predominantly. So you're a big timber property essentially, and you're like, where do you even start, right? And that's the hard part, I think, for most people. They don't even know where to hit the start button. You know, did you hit that point where you're like, boy, I've got so many question marks here. I'm not even sure what's the right thing to do. I mean, was that really kind of like, did you have a point where you're just like kind of, I guess, in trying to inhale and exhale for a moment?
Yeah, I think I was. I think when I bought the property, I was like, I think I should bring someone in because, you know, it might not be the best property because I wasn't looking for, you know, a specific hunting property, but I was like, I know we can make it better. But I was at a point where I was like, you know, I know how to work, but I don't know how to design, you know, a hunting property. So before you came, I didn't even do any work. I think I hung up like two mock scrapes and that was about it.
Yeah. And I think you have some competing interests with you to the south, at least as it pertains to vegetation. You're going to be dealing with long-term food availability, you know, competing interests on that end, but we're definitely going to be able to compete with them in a short period of time, hopefully. And I have this paranoia thing that happens a lot of times with clients, but then I'm just like, you only can control what you can control. And at the end of the day, we've got to make this at 22 acres, you got to make it down to the square inch as good as it possibly can get. And you have a situation where you've got a lot of things playing in your hand. I think the way this property lays out, I think you'll be highly successful. If you can compartmentalize those deer, lay out specific bedding locations based on the prescriptions, the support you have from Josh. And again, I would say the one thing I say to clients is start your own journey in this thing. We gave you the tools. And I'm working the other day on my property. I'm finessing new stuff. I'm creating new stuff when I'm out there. I'm in the lab, right? That's my laboratory. Outside's in the lab, and I'm coming up with new ideas. I got new stuff. I cut something the other day. I was alone. Nobody was watching me. I went out there and I cut a little differently. And I was like, huh, that worked. I'm going to try this again. And so I would suggest, at least for you, anybody listening to this, is when you're alone in the woods, and hopefully you're not scared of the big timber, but you're working through these processes, you have a good foundation and you can kind of explore new ideas and see if they work. And I think hopefully, Steve, over time, you know, you'll be able to just explore and learn and explain and share and give feedback, right? And my goal with the clients is we're connected. We're always connected. You're always a client and I get feedback from you and the feedback is helpful for my growth. And, you know, hopefully that relationship continues to grow, you know, as over time you're successful, hunting gets, you know, better, right? And you just have way more to share and learn. And the nuances and insights that you have, you're a super smart guy, great education, you got a hardworking career, you know a lot about plants, right? So landscape architecture is your thing. This complements this tremendously. I think you're going to be highly successful.
Yeah, thank you. I think the plant identification definitely helps, you know, just going out in the woods and, you know, I don't know everything, but knowing what a majority of the tree species are, it definitely helps trying to figure out what you're cutting and what's good to, you know, hinge cut and everything.
Yeah. And you, I can tell individual trees, and I was just explaining this to a client the other day. I was cutting with a client. I can tell you what trees will live or die, what ones will hinge cut. I can just look at it and tell. And you start to get that knowledge and experience. And even felling trees, you know, this is going to twist a little bit that way, right? I need this tree in your property. I need this tree to be in that spot. And I think Josh probably talked a little bit about with you as being as precise as you can with dropping trees because it's critical. Otherwise, it's a half an hour, 2 hour, 3 hour job to clean that tree up potentially because of the damage. Or, you know, when you hang them up, boy, that just is, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, we started the morning with me putting trees not where we wanted. And by the end of the day, they were going where we wanted. So that was a good experience. Kind of funny to look back at because I did have to clean those up last weekend.
Oh, good. Hopefully it didn't take you a couple hours, but maybe it did.
I think it was a couple hours, but I was making beds at the same time. So
good. Hey, did you buy that Rogue tool? I don't know if you did. I have it when I was with you, that Rogue tool, the new tool that I've been using with the clients where it's got the hoe rake on one side.
And I think you mentioned it when you were here. I've just been using my foot, kicking beds out.
Oh, doing the old foot deal. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
we do that cause we got to be quick when we're cutting. Yeah. I would definitely recommend that tool. I just used it recently with a few clients and I was kind of showing them kind of lay of the land. That's a great tool. I like that 7-inch Rogue hoe rake. It's fantastic. It's a game changer, especially for hillside.
You know, yeah, I'll look into that. Yeah. I got my Habitat hooks on the way, so
good. Did you tell them the John Teeter version?
No, I just ordered the aluminum one.
Okay. Yeah, they got one that they made because we were breaking them like And some people are like, oh, you know, you're not professional using the habitat hook. You know, you should be able to fell the trees. Right. Listen, I want low maintenance. So I want the trees landing in a specific location. I want to control at least the smaller trees, control their fall. So I think it's an important aspect of it.
Yeah. When I first started, I was cutting and then pushing them over myself. And then when Josh showed up with his, I was like, I keep forgetting to order my habitat hook. And I was like, as soon as you leave, I'm ordering that because that thing is a game changer.
It is. Yeah. It just, the placement, it's just a great tool for allowing placement of trees and yeah, it just simplifies the process a little bit. Okay. I don't have much else. So I want you to end with anything that you want to tell the audience, right? This is your time to shine. So let's talk a little bit about anything you want.
Sure. You know, if you're somebody out there that, you know, you want to buy land, I think it's definitely achievable for the average person. And, you know, if you want to hire a consultant, do your research and, you know, and enjoy the journey, enjoy the work you're doing. I'm really enjoying the whole process of, you know, having Whitetail Landscapes come out, giving me my plan and then starting to do the work. And it's going to be a never ending project, but it's all part of a awesome journey. So, you know, get after it.
All right, Steve. Well, I appreciate your time tonight. Thanks for spending time with me. I appreciate it as a client. I really appreciate you reached out the other day to us. We were working on a job together and we were talking to the clients. We had two clients in front of us. We were talking to them, two separate property owners. And I said, hey, you guys, you got to give me a second. I got this cool email and I want to share it with Josh. And we read your email together. And, that really meant a lot to us that day. We had done a ton of work. We were exhausted. It was a 12-hour day, and I was beat. I was about to go jump in a creek, and it really motivated me to stay on my game for the next day. So I said, hey, we got to connect. I've got a couple great clients coming on as well, so I really appreciate you as a client. I hope your success continues. I want you to stay in touch, and hopefully we do this again. I'd like to talk to you again, see if things are actually working, see if it actually, you know, the shed hunting blind comes together, the box blind works out, the cutting, you've got some wetland management issues, or excuse me, topics to focus in on. So I kind of want to hear where you end up.
Sure. John, I really appreciate you having me on and appreciate everything you and Josh have done for me so far. It's been great.
All right, man. Hey, we'll talk soon. Thanks, Steve.
Yep, thank you.
All right, brother. See you, man. Bye.
Maximize Your Hunt is a production of Whitetail Landscapes. For more information on how John Teeter and his team of experts can help you maximize your hunt, check out whitetaillandscapes.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.